Du lytter til programmet Kulturens Vinger. Temaet er War No More. Med Radio Frederiksberg-journalen, som optog dette program, vi skal høre nu, var vi en tur i London i 2008. Her var vi på besøg på The Imperial War Museum. Vi talte med Conrad Wood, der er researcher og chefinterviewer for deres audioarkiver. Vi lagde ud med sangen New World in the Morning. Den kan vi desværre ikke spille her på internetsiden, men det er det, vi refererer til i indledningen af programmet.
Ja, ville det ikke være dejligt at få en ny verden i morgen? Det er der mange, der håber på. Mange håber på fred i verden, og ikke mindst efter 2. verdenskrig. Men vi har været en tur i England på det, der hedder Imperial War Museum, og der har vi talt med Mr. Conrad Wood, som er interviewer for Sound Archives.
Mr. Conrad Wood, you are the senior interviewer here at the Sound Archives under the Imperial War Museum in London. And today you've just shown me an impressive catalogue which has been published today. And it's about the SOE operations in the different countries, occupied countries, during World War II. It's a work that you're pretty proud about, I imagine, because most of those people, or a majority of those people in the catalogue, you have actually been interviewing.
I suppose it must be a majority. I haven't actually calculated the percentage, but a very high percentage of them anyway have been done by me, yes. I think I started recording special operations executive people maybe about the middle of the 80s, so I've been doing it well over 10 years, 13 years maybe on that subject. But I've worked as an interviewer for the Sound Archive for 20 years on the books of the museum, and before that, a year or two as a freelance interviewer.
Conrad Wood har interviewet mange mennesker, der var tilknyttet SOE, Special Operations Executive, under 2. verdenskrig. Det er optagelser, der ligger på bånd i The Sound Archives i London på Imperial War Museum, og den specielle afdeling, der gælder for disse optagelser. Conrad Wood har foretaget disse interviews siden midten af 1980'erne, og har interviewet i cirka 13 år. Han har været ved Imperial War Museum i cirka 20 år, og har også haft noget at gøre med de forskellige bøger, der er blevet trykt for museet.
Now, also there are people under the SOE operations in Denmark, and you were in Denmark interviewing these people.
Yes, I got some money to go over to Denmark in about 1993-1994 period. This was mainly at the urging of a Danish friend of mine called Pip Albeck Langdon. She is a Danish lady who was a nurse in the Second World War. She married a Dane, then she married an English doctor, settled in England, and I found her living in London and tape recorded some of her war memories. And mainly at her urging in the early 90s, I went over to Denmark to do some interviews. I managed to get a handful of Danish resistance veterans and people who'd worked for SOE. I used to go on a weekend, spend my weekends in Denmark, and usually did a couple of interviews on the Saturday and Sunday. The work was actually financed not by the museum, but by a trust called the Jerry Holdsworth Trust. Jerry Holdsworth was a special operations executive agent from the Royal Navy in the Second World War, and he must have been a man of means because he left money behind when he died to finance, to promote work connected with special operations, special forces, and a committee runs the trust, which handles the money. And I managed to get some money from them to finance my trips to Denmark to interview the veterans I've been talking about. But eventually the money dried up, so it more or less came to an end. But I've also interviewed Danes either living in England or else on visits to England as well. And I think your friend Ib Berker was one of those.
Conrad Wood fortæller, at han startede med at optage danske agenter, og det gjorde han i 93-94, hvor han var i Danmark flere gange, ofte over en weekend, så rejste tilbage til England igen efter interviewene. Det var faktisk på opfordring af en af hans gode venner, der havde navnet Pip, eller blev kaldt Pip, rettere sagt, fra 2. verdenskrig. En sygeplejerske, som giftede sig med en dansker, og senere med en engelsk læge, og så slog sig ned i London. Helbæk Langdon, hun opfordrede ham til, efter han havde interviewet hende i England, om hendes krigserindringer, at lave interviews med veteranerne fra Danmark. Det var lidt et problem med at få det finansieret. Museet havde ikke råd til det, men det lykkedes så at blive sponsoreret af en trust, der hedder Jerry Holdsworth Trust, som netop giver penge til den slags formål. Jerry Holdsworth var en Special Operations Executive Agent, der var i den britiske Royal Navy under 2. verdenskrig. Og da han døde, var der testamenteret penge til at promovere kendskabet til det arbejde, der blev gjort af disse Special Operations Executives, og det kunne blive kendt efter 2. verdenskrig, hvad de havde lavet, for det var jo så tophemmeligt, det arbejde, de udførte. Conrad Wood har så gjort dette arbejde gennem mange, mange år. Han har også interviewet danskere, der kom til England. En af dem var netop Bøger, som han fortæller om her. Ole Ib Bøger, mest kendt som Ole Bøger i Danmark, der jo også for nogle år siden i 2004 udgav sine erindringer i bogen Hvem var fjenden? Det var så lige min kommentar her til sidst.
That's right. Mr. Bücker's tapes are right here, and we heard them the other day about the fascinating stories during his highly top secret missions during the Second World War in Denmark and in Sweden. But the tape recordings that we found also comprises interviews with Verenka Moos, the wife of the late SOE boss in Denmark, Flemming Moos. And that was also one of your interviews, I believe.
Yes, she was one of the first ones. The way I found out about her was I had discovered by chance an English pilot who had operated for the RAF in the Second World War. He was living in the south of England, and he told me how on an SOE mission to take agents into Denmark, I think, if I remember correctly, crashed, he'd been shot down in Denmark, and I think he must have been taking Flemming Moos into Denmark. I believe that was it. And he'd maintained contact with that family after the Second World War, and he readily gave me Verenka Moos's address and telephone number, and I vividly remember that she was the first person I ever interviewed when I went to Denmark on my first trip. I vividly remember staying the night in the Siemens Hotel, I think it was, in Copenhagen that night, but that evening I'd been to see her somewhere in the northern part of Zeeland, and I remember I had some difficulty in finding her house. I should say, of course, as an interviewer, what I tend to remember is not so much the content of the interviews, but the adventures that I have in finding people's houses and the actual practical problems of doing the interviews. But I found her eventually, and she was most hospitable and gave a very good interview. I remember a little cannon she had on her door, which I suppose is still there, guarding her door. And it was nice to meet an English woman who'd settled down so successfully in Zealand.
Conrad Wood fortæller, at han interviewede Ib Ole Bøgger, der var top secret agent i Danmark og Sverige blandt andet. Og de bånd ligger også i Sound Archives i Real War Museum. Den første, han interviewede, var faktisk Varenka Mus, og hun var den allerførste, han interviewede i Danmark. Han opdagede med en tilfældighed, at hun eksisterede. Det gjorde han fra en engelsk pilot, der under 2. verdenskrig fløj for Royal Air Force. Han var så på en SOE-mission ind i Danmark, det vil sige, at han blev også skudt ned over Danmark under en mission, hvor han skulle bringe Flemming B. Mus til Danmark som SOE-executive. Det viste sig, at han havde holdt forbindelsen med Mus-familien i Danmark efter 2. verdenskrig. Og han gav Conrad Wood med stor glæde Varenka Mus' adresse og telefonnummer. Han husker med fornøjelse, hvordan han overnattede på sømandshjemmet i Nyhavn, og hvordan han havde problemer med at finde frem til Varenka Mus' hus, hvor Nordsjælland. Han synes, det var meget sjovt at nå frem til hende. Hun havde nemlig en lille kanon, der bevogtede hendes dør. Han var glad for at se, at en engelsk kvinde var så veltilpasset og havde slået sig ned Sjælland i Danmark.
Now, some of the interviews were not done in Denmark, but here in London. Now, for instance, the interview with Mr. Bøgger is done here at the Sound Archives, and there would be some of these done here. You said also that there were quite a few Danes who live in England and stayed on in England after the war that you've been interviewing.
Well, not so many. Maybe I'm exaggerating. So the one who springs to mind is Pip Olbeck Langdon. She is now my personal friend, a personal friend of mine. This sometimes happened as an interviewer, as you know yourself, that you make friends with the people you interview, and sometimes it's possible to maintain the friendship. Although, as I've interviewed thousands of people over 20 odd years, it isn't practical to maintain a friendship with more than a handful of them. But I still see Pip, and she still lives in England. I have come across one or two other Danes. I remember one, but not everybody is willing to be interviewed. People, as you've told me earlier, tend to be modest. And I did come across a Danish lady the other day who was married to a Royal Navy veteran, an Englishman, and she's settled in England, so her English is obviously very good. And I was very keen to interview her, but although her husband was very willing to be interviewed about the sinking of the German battleship Bismarck, I was unable to persuade his wife, who was Danish, to put her memories on tape. Just modesty. She felt that she had nothing to say, but after all, she was living in Denmark under the occupation, and for English people, this is something exotic. And then again, I remember another Danish lady living in England, married to a German Jew in this case. I'd gone to interview him as somebody who'd come as a refugee from the Third Reich in the 30s, and he'd married this Danish lady, and although he was very willing to talk about his refugee memories, I was unable to persuade his Danish wife to go on record. So those are the cases that spring to mind. Pip, my friend Pip, did once take me to the Danish church in London to give a little talk to them, which we had a very nice lunchtime there, in which I gave a talk about the oral history recordings I was doing on the subject of Denmark. And I met the Danish community living in England there. But I think this is one of the problems, that people feel that unless they've had some adventure, a bit like Errol Flynn, some heroic adventure on the films, that I won't be interested. But of course, the Errol Flynn type adventures, the James Bond adventures, are the exception. The heroics are the exception. And very often the historian, the researcher, merely wants the more typical memories. For that reason, they want to know what it was typically like. And so the person who did nothing special may be of far more interest to the historian than the hero.
Nogle af interviewene blev optaget i London med danskere. En af dem var med Ibo Ole Bøger, som vi hørte før. Og så naturligvis den danske sygeplejerske Pip Ulbæk Langdon, som Conrad Wood blev gode venner med, og venskabet holder stadigvæk på grund af interviewene, for han kendte hende ikke i forvejen. Men det sker jo, at man bliver gode venner, når man interviewer folk, kommer tæt ind på dem og deres liv. Men man kan jo ikke selvfølgelig holde forbindelsen med alle disse mennesker, man har interviewet. Han husker en anden dansk dame, der var gift med en engelsk Royal Navy-veteran, som deltog i 2. verdenskrig, der ikke ville lade sig interviewe den danske dame, fordi hun synes ikke, hun havde noget specielt at fortælle. Hun havde bare levet i Danmark under besættelsen, under den tyske besættelse, hvorimod manden gerne lod sig interviewe, og specielt omkring The Royal Navy's sænkning af det store tyske krigsskib Bismarck. Men altså, hans kone, hun synes ikke, hun havde noget at berette. Det nyttede ikke noget, at Conrad Wood forsøgte at overbevise hende om, at englænderen ville synes, det var mægtig eksotisk at høre om, hvordan det var at leve under en tysk besættelse. Han husker også en anden dansk dame, der var gift med en jødisk mand. De boede i London. Og manden var flygtet fra det tredje rige. Han berettede gerne om sine oplevelser, hvorimod den danske dame ikke rigtig synes, hun havde noget specielt at berette om. Det kan være svært at overbevise folk om, at det netop er interessant for en historiker at få at vide, hvordan livet var for ganske almindelige mennesker. Det er jo ikke altid Errol Flynn eventyr og James Bond-oplevelser, som er interessante, fordi folk tror, man vil kun høre heltenes beretninger. Det er da netop de typiske oplevelser fra en bestemt tid, som har stor interesse.
Now, in all those years that you have done these interviews, you must have come across quite a bit of controversy.
Regarding Denmark, you mean?
Not necessarily Denmark, but on the whole.
Are you talking about political controversy? Or, well, I have. If you're trying to get me to give some examples, at the moment, none spring to mind. What were you thinking of yourself?
I'm thinking that sometimes during the war, you know, it's not the thing to talk about the other side or let the other side come to word. You'd like to see it from one side and not get all the different aspects of the whole situation as it was then.
Yes, one of the problems we have with our archive is that since naturally it's a British archive, although we have 18,000 recordings, probably something like 95% of those memories are British memories. And so it's a very unbalanced archive. If you want to study war and conflict, you've got the British point of view, or British points of view, in great wealth and detail, but the other points of view, of which there are many, are few and far between. So I've always felt from the beginning of doing this work that if I can get some non-British points of view, some non-British memories, that adds balance to the collection. And this is one of the reasons I was keen on getting Danish memories, of course. But in particular, of course, it's the enemy point of view tends to get lost in an archive like this. So German memories, Japanese memories even, Italian memories, and so on, are of particular interest to me. And I have been over, not to Japan, but I've been once to Rome and a few times to Germany to get some of the memories of Germans and Italians. But one of the problems there, of course, apart from the time and expense of traveling abroad, a museum after all has limited resources, is the language problem, and very often the people you interview abroad don't speak very good English. So if I can find Germans in particular who are living in England, then I will make a special effort to interview them, because obviously they've got the enemy point of view, the former enemy point of view, shall I say. And also they will naturally speak good English after 50 years in England. Of course, some of those people were doing jobs on behalf of their country which were not very popular with the English people, as you can imagine. In fact, next week I'm interviewing a man who served in the U-boats, in the submarines, sinking our shipping. He's been living in England for 50 years, married to an English woman, so I'm looking forward to it very much. But I have come across ex-U-boat men who living in England who've refused to be interviewed because they've said to me, well, if I'm interviewed, somebody will come and paint abusive slogans on the wall of my house or something, or break my windows. So my answer, of course, is, well, they won't do that because we don't give out addresses. They're still sometimes unwilling because, of course, if you have a German name, you can fairly easily trace it through a telephone directory sometimes. I was particularly disappointed on one occasion because I was interviewing some men who were veterans of a British battleship called HMS Royal Oak. It was sunk in the autumn of 1939 by a German U-boat, a harbour called Scapa Flow in the Orkneys, or Orkney Islands, and it was a great exploit by the German U-boat captain to have penetrated into this harbour and sunk this battleship. I was interviewing some of the Englishmen and others who'd survived the sinking of the Royal Oak, but they told me that they had a German in their Veterans Association who was one of the crew of the U-boat who'd sunk their ship, and he'd married a Scotch woman, and he was living in Scotland. And so I rang him up, but unfortunately he was not willing to be interviewed because of this kind of sensitivity. So what can I do? I have to accept what they say. You can only interview a volunteer. And he was unwilling to do it. But I have interviewed people who... I remember I interviewed a chap who'd served with the Hungarian army, who'd fought on the side of the Germans in the Second World War. And he spoke with admiration for the Waffen-SS men who had served alongside him in Russia, about their bravery and so on. And he expressed his point of view freely about what had happened to him and what he'd felt about the Waffen-SS and so on. And there was one particular journalist who thought that this would make a good story, that the I think he thought the Imperial War Museum could be pilloried for allegedly promoting admiration for the Waffen-SS. And I remember a rather unpleasant phone call from this gentleman who wanted to do a bit of muckraking, as we say, who was strongly objecting that these memories should go into our archive. And of course my reply had to be, well, I'm especially looking for people with non-British points of view and unusual points of view which are not readily to be found from English people. And I was particularly delighted to have found this Hungarian living in England, speaking good English, who could express this. And far from apologising about it, I'm particularly pleased that I did this recording. I'm afraid I didn't see his article. It wasn't in one of the newspapers in England which are regarded as high quality, quite the contrary, but I do believe that he wrote some article which attacked what I'd been doing. So one does have these rather disappointing responses, but I suppose you have to have a thick skin.